Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Left Wing Back podcast. Coming up on today's programme, we have a fantastic conversation with Tommy Buggy, the former Carlow minor hurling manager, served a term as a selector with the seniors as well. Was with St Mullins back in 2002 when they won a senior hurling championship and went all the way to a Leinster semi-final only to be beaten by Burr. And back he comes again with St Mullins for 2024. Carlow versus Kilkenny, of course, in the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship is coming up. So Tommy will be well placed indeed to talk about that, given his Kilkenny background. So we have a very widespread and engaging and entertaining conversation with a few gems lined up in there as well. So the Carlow Senior Hurlers put up a marvellous display, must be said, against Dublin at the weekend and just lost out in the end. A fortuitous Fergal Whiteley goal turning things in the Dubs' favour. Carlow really deserved something out of that game, and by all means they were crestfallen afterwards, given the effort that they had put in from 1 to 15 and everyone that had come in. It was a fantastic effort indeed. Thanks too to Kevin MacDonald. We kind of landed in on top of Kevin and started pulling the trigger on the recording while he was signing autographs. It wasn't our intention to interrupt the signing of the autographs. We merely wanted to capture Kevin signing them and do the interview while he was doing so, and it was a fantastic thing to be able to capture. And Kevin was really sound to us as well, a great role model, as are all the Carlow senior hurlers. At the weekend also, the Carlow minor hurlers put up a gallant display, losing out to Laois. The Carlow ladies footballers, of course, were in action as well, losing out narrowly to Longford. And we have a wrap-up of results from the weekend up on leftwingback.com. Coming up this weekend, it's a blank canvas in terms of Carlow senior hurlers and footballers action. But speaking of the Carlow senior footballers, they've been drawn in the Tailteann Cup along with Wicklow, Laois and Fermanagh. They will have Fermanagh at home. They'll be away to Laois, and the Wicklow game will be at a neutral venue. Our good friend Paul Byrne, I think, once played in Woodside. And who knows, maybe Paul will get his wishes indeed. Well, I highly doubt it, but yeah, it's a venue that's definitely come on over the past couple of years with the developments there, and they're doing fantastic work and had a fantastic victory over Airogue in Division 1 of the Carlow Senior Football League. Again, check out carlowga.ie. Check out the Carlow Camogie Facebook and Instagram and Twitter pages, and the Carlow Ladies Football Instagram and Facebook and Twitter pages for all fixture details coming up over the next couple of weeks. It is hectic indeed. And of course, a big shout out to all our partners for whom without this it would not be possible. Talbot Hotel in Carlow. They are working on their renovations there with the bar that's going to open up, I think, in the next couple of weeks. So keep an eye on the Talbot Hotel social pages there. And indeed, if you're looking to do a bit of exercise, Talbot Fitness is your location there, with the swimming pool and everything all looking spick and span. Porrydun Motors, located on the O'Brien Road. A fine selection of used cars available there. Hit up Porrick on Instagram. You have PFT Travel. If you're looking for a bus, whether it's to a match, whether it's to the bingo, whatever, MJ Farrell at PFT Travel is the man to contact. You'll get them on Instagram and on Facebook as well. Art Spas, if you want to jump into the jacuzzi after maybe a tough training session or a tough game, yeah, check them out on Instagram. Acura Sports, a fine Carlow business looking after all your sports clothing needs. Again, they're on Instagram. And two great fighting cocksmen there in Shane and Emmett Moran. Murray's Bar in Ballymurphy. Shane, of course, no stranger to GA and Camogie teams. He was involved with the minor Camogie team this year, who had a fantastic run of it. And indeed, a selector with Mullinster Rangers during their very successful period, winning Leinster titles and getting to All-Ireland finals and winning All-Ireland finals, indeed, intermediate level as well. And Ray Whelan Limited, your go-to waste management service for decades upon decades. So do check out all our partners up on social media, and we thank them for their contributions in keeping this on the road. And as we said, if you want to get in touch with us regards advertising, it is very, very affordable indeed. It helps to keep the show on the road. This is a real labour of love for us, so it just helps keep the whole thing going. And especially with club games coming up in the not too distant future, you can get us leftwingbackpodcast@gmail.com or info@leftwingback.com or DM us on social media. Time now to hear from Mr. Tommy Buggy. You're listening to the Left Wing Back podcast, and today we are coming live from Property Partners Buggy in Port Laois, and with the Buggy surname and with the Carlow connection, who could it be, of course, only the one and only Tommy Buggy, who has left quite an imprint in Carlow down through the years with St Mullins and indeed with various intra-county Carlow teams, minor specifically, I suppose, but a little bit, I think, with seniors as well, which you might come to
And he's back in Carlow this year with St Mullins, where it all started. So, Tommy, firstly, thanks for having me up, and good to chat to you. How's things?
Things are good, Kevin, and yourself?
We're not going too bad. Look, it's a Tuesday, the weather is not mighty, but the company's good, so...
Yeah, that's okay, and plenty of sleepless nights, I presume. Congratulations to yourself and Niamh.
Thanks a million, appreciate it. Yeah, plenty of sleepless nights, but look, you have to get me a double espresso here. So I think we'll get through the next 40 minutes okay anyway.
That should just about do, you know. Yeah.
I don't think there's a martini in it, is there?
No, there's not.
That's all right. Yeah, I wouldn't say no to it either. But anyway, look, we won't go there. So look, I mean, we're in the thick of Leinster Championship action, and we will come to that in a moment's time. But I'm really interested, I suppose, in your involvement with Carlo and the fact that you're back with St. Mullins this year. And... you know, those great days with Carlow Miners, I suppose, in particular. But to try and capture the whole story, I just feel best, Tom, if we maybe take it back to 2002 when you first went down to St Mullins. So you were obviously a little bit younger than you are now, like the rest of us, and small bit fresher as you too. How did you end up down there?
You're going back a long way now, 22 years ago. And I wasn't long finished playing. And I don't know where the phone call came from, but I had been involved for a couple of years at underage level at home with my own club, and I'm actually still involved at underage level. I've been involved every year since with various different teams and what have you, and a couple of times with the senior team. But so I got a phone call, I can't remember, but I remember chatting to a couple of lads at home and saying, oh, should I go down and talk to them? And to be honest with you, the night I went down to meet the players, I couldn't believe it. There was 56 players in the room that night. And I was really taken aback. And I didn't realise at the time how much hurling meant to people in that area, Carlow especially. And it was huge. And I took to them straight away. There were that team, though, were a really brilliant bunch. There was some brilliant hurlers on it. You know, people like Declan Kavanagh and Pat Cody and Richard Dreelin and Tom Dyle. All these guys, they were a fabulous team. And so we got stuck into it, and lucky enough, and we won the county final that year. We beat Navan in the final. I think it was 4-10 to 4-8.
Remember being
the final score.
High score again.
And it was David Dyle got a hat trick the same day. And it was an unbelievable feeling. But what happened after, no one expected, where we ended up in a Leinster semi-final, you know, against Burr. That great Burr team that went on, they walked through the All-Ireland series that year. And we ended up playing them in the Leinster semi-final in Portlaoise. But one of the best occasions was the day of the Leinster quarter-final. We played the Dublin champions, Lawrence O'Toole's. And we played them in Dr. Cullen, and it was an amazing experience for a young manager at the time, and the crowd that was in it that day and the way the boys hurled. But yeah, so that started it, and I was there again in 2003, and then out of the blue I got a phone call from Tommy O'Neill, God rest him, wanting to know if I'd be interested in getting involved with Carlow at intercounty level, at minor level. And so I went and had a chat with himself and Eddie at the time. Eddie was chairman. And that's where the Carlow connection came in then, the inter-county connection. And we ended up having 3 great years.
Yeah.
So we did. And I was so blessed. I was so fortunate to be given the guys I was given at the time. Mick Miley and Tommy Corcoran and Michael Murphy, God rest him. And... Tommy Corcoran was a fountain of knowledge when it came to hurling, and Carlow hurling in particular. And Mick Miley was Mick. He was so driven and so passionate about it. And Michael Murphy then was the St. Mullins connection, you know. And but I brought in a guy with me then, a friend of mine called Joe Murphy, who, I don't know, were we ahead of our time or whatever, but Joe was a gym instructor, and we started getting these guys into the gym. We got nutritionists on board. There's a very good story about the nutritionist, actually. Laura Dowling was our nutritionist. She owns the Canadian Rockies experience now, where she does guided tours of the Rockies. But Laura was our nutritionist, and Tommy Corcoran came up with an idea that we'd call in not the parents, but the mothers of all the kids. Now, I don't mean to sound sexist, but 17-year-old boys weren't cooking for themselves 20 years ago, or they still probably aren't. But and Tommy said, look, the person that's going to be preparing their meals is their mams. So we said, right. And we met them in the Laura Bagna. And we got a huge response. And Laura went through everything with them, what the young fella should be doing and this, that and the other. And that all fed into what came about over the next 3 years. And at the same time, there was talks of putting the gym in Dr. Cullen Park. And Joe Murphy, in fairness to him, and Owen Garvey at the time was the senior manager. He could be under 21 and senior. But they drove that along with the football guys. And it turned out to be, at the time, it was a state-of-the-art gym that we got in there. I think that was in 2005 by then. And things just sort of snowballed. And we worked really hard at it, you know. And in fairness to Mick and Tommy Corcoran, they scoured the county, club matches and what have you, looking for lads and, you know, looking to see what was coming and what talent was available to us. And then, to their eternal credit, Tommy O'Neill and Eddie Byrne, we came up with a plan whereby we'd feed the guys after training, but like things were obviously tight with money and that we weren't going to be going to hotels or anything. But St Mullins had a kitchen and Carlow Town had a kitchen. So we agreed that we'd train in St Mullins on a Friday night, Carlow Town on a Monday night, and they'd get fed there in the club after training. And it'd be a stew or a curry or whatever, but it meant then the guys, especially leaving certs and all that, they were getting back on the bus. Then we used to run a bus from Carlow Town down to St Mullins on a Friday and the opposite direction then on a Monday. And chaps were going home, they weren't having to get out to eat when they got home, you know, especially guys studying and what have you. And it really worked out well for us. Now, things have moved on for county teams ever since. But at the time, I remember chatting to lads at home, and I was involved with squads in Kilkenny and that. And these guys were being really well treated. And credit will have to go to Tommy and Eddie and all the county board at the time. You know, they bought into what we were trying to do. And we got a modicum of success out of it in the end, you know. Yeah. So we did.
It seemed to seem true as well because, we'll say, I started with development squads in 2005. And I did see the like of that kind of filtering down through. Maybe yeah. I had too much dinners. But anyway, that's a different story. But, like, and the other thing in around that era from being involved with those squads, I remember yourself and Damien Fox and Paddy Butler up in Bidenstown one day. I think it was possibly in the lead-up to that Leinster final in 06, which we'd come to. And, like, to have you guys in around the place for us at the time, sure, geez, there's, yeah. you know, like, yeah. they're only 2 or 3 years older than you, but they seem like giants when yeah. you're looking up at it, you yeah. see. And when you set those standards, be it on the pitch or be it, as you say, with the nutrition, the gym and all that, it was seeping through. And, like, there was good development squads that followed, even after your time.
There was, there, you know, and so. I tell you, and the signs were on it after, because they had success in the Joe McDonough and they got up playing senior Leinster Championship and, you know, and if you believe it or not, the Carlow team that talked out last Sunday, there's still two of the 06 minor team. You know, Richie Cody and Jack Kavanagh. Still there. You know, and I look around the county at the moment and there's still quite a few of these guys hurling.
Yeah.
Craig Dyle is still hurling. Paddy Keogh, Dwayne Kavanagh, Kevin Keogh, Jack, Richie. There's a good few of them still around, knocking around, and still well able to hurl and hurling at a high level, you know. And but I think, you see, there has always been that enthusiasm for hurling in Carlow. Always has. And I've always said it, and I still say it to this day, it's very hard for a dual county like Carlow or Laois or Westmead to excel in one particular sphere, whether it be hurling or football, because the fact that they are very much dual counties. And they give as much credence to both codes, you know. Whereas in Kilkenny, we might play 200 football matches in the year, which we do, club matches. But all the emphasis goes when it comes to inter-county level on hurling. Mm. And that's the way it is. People don't like it, maybe. But we wouldn't be as successful, I don't think, if we were like Carlow or Leash or Westmeath, where we gave as much credence to both at inter-county level.
Mm. Yeah, it is. It's definitely a headache to this day, you know. And you can see it from your involvement back with St. Mullins, I'm sure, with a lot of lads probably gone in on county squads. And again, I'll come to that. But just to go back to the minor crops, I suppose, and before we come to 06 even, right?
Yeah.
There was a lot of people around Carlow that would argue that even though the 05 team didn't get to a Leinster final, that it was possibly as talented or maybe even more talented.
Well, the 04 team, right? I was there, 04 was my first year, yeah. In 04, we won the All-Ireland B minor.
Mm.
And we went to the county board and said, look, we know what's coming here. We want you to contact Croke Park and put us in A. And they were a bit hesitant. And we were saying, look, we're not going to win it, but we're going to make these guys better if we play at the higher level.
Mm.
So they did. And we were beaten in the quarter final in 05 then, by 9-8 by Leash.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the decisions that day still haunt me. Like, the refereeing was absolutely awful the same day. And I think we had two players sent off. One after coming on as a sub, I think. But I can remember the referee's name, and I'm not going to say it publicly. And I'll never forgive him for it, like what he done to us that day. It was shocking. And they were a really talented bunch. They were so good. You know, Aaron Cox, and I think Seamus Murphy was on that. And
Craig Doyle would have been still there in 05, I think.
Craig Doyle was on it. But they were a really good bunch. And but the thing about it was, in 06 then, we actually got a bit of a rub of the green. So we did, you know, especially the day again, Offaly. You know, we were dead and buried. And then Páirc Hammond appears out of nowhere and sticks one in the back of the net, and things turn, and we end up beating them. I think we beat them by 5 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
And but for me, the most pleasing aspect that year, that the last year I was there in 06, was in the first round, we lost to Offaly. In the first round of the round robin. We lost by, I think it was 1-10 to 1-9 or something like that.
Narrow, yeah.
And I remember Mick Miley saying to me, said, that's the best thing could have happened to these lads. He says, we'd be grand for the rest of the year. And I said, geez, Mick, I don't know. Like, Wexford are better than them, and Kilkenny are better than them, and probably Leash were very good at the time, are every bit as good as them. And he said, no, I'm telling you now, he says, that'll be the best thing ever happened. And it turned out he was right. And
beat Wexford well. In the end, I think.
We ended up beating Wexford twice that year.
Mm.
We beat them in the round robin by, I think it was 9 points. And we beat them then in the first round of the knockout by 6 or 7. You know, and beat Leash then. And then we beat Offaly in the semi-final and lost the final to Kilkenny. But I look back on it, that Kilkenny team and the Tip team that beat us in the All-Ireland quarter-final. Like, they were the nucleus of the teams that went on to contest the 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 All-Ireland finals.
Mm.
You know, like the Tip team that time had Páirc Maher, Declan Maher, Shane Long, the soccer player. He was on that team, so he was.
Shane McCallan, possibly.
Pa Burke
was a crack.
They were a serious outfit. And so that'll tell you, like, the quality of lads we had in Carlow, that were coming up against these guys. And that day in Nolan Park in the quarter final against Tip, we were 3 points down at half time, coming to half time, and Páirc Hammond actually struck the crossbar to make it level. It was a great shot. He was a bit unlucky. And it broke out, came back about 30 yards back out the field, down the field, and we ended up 6 down. They got a goal off. Mm. Instead of going in level, we went 6 down at half time. Look, we were never going to beat Tip, but we put up a fair fight that day. But there's a couple of standout things with regard to those guys. One is the fact that the county board bought into everything we were trying to do and gave us every resource and every opportunity to go and do it. Two was the quality of the hurlers we had. Like, in 06, we had 3 15-year-olds on that team. We had Kevin Keogh on goal, and we had Dennis Murphy and Paddy Keogh. And Paddy Keogh was the second highest scorer in the All-Ireland Minor Championship that year, at 15 years of age. Richie Hogan was first, he was second, and Pa Burke was third. They were the three highest scorers in the All-Ireland Championship.
And Pat Horgan was high up that ladder, yeah, I think, too.
That'll tell you. And that year, we came out of... And my own wife actually talks about this still. She couldn't believe... She'd never seen it before. After we beat Offaly, we were walking out the end of the dressing rooms there in Amore Park, where you come out into the car park. And the Carlow people were lined up either side, and they clapped the players out to the bus. Like, I'd never seen it before. And I still get goosebumps thinking about it. I was shocked. I was amazed at it. And that'll tell you what it meant to people, though.
Not going to affect the hat.
James
Kinsella speaks about that moment too, actually. quite fondly. He said that was one of the best moments ever. And I tell you who speaks very highly of that particular day. I think he has it maybe in his top three of, you know, best days ever, say, from a Carlow point of view, was James Hickey, who wasn't even
I heard him on your podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that. I couldn't believe it when he said
there
it.
There you go. Well, like,
he was only a young fella at the time.
That's the effect it had. And I suppose, you know, again, to dip back in, even from, what was I, under 15 probably at the time, we played awfully, I don't know, out the road somewhere, or into that afterwards. The effect that has when you see it, like, you know, it's beyond comprehension, really, I suppose. Amund in particular, I need to chat to you about him, not just because he's a club mate, but the conversations around getting a jersey on that lad's back, given the fact there was a Shamrock Rovers on the jersey on his back.
That's right. That was funny.
There was an art of disguise and maybe a bit of skullduggery there, was there?
There was a couple of times, actually, we couldn't let it be known, because in fairness, the chap ended up having a great career. I still follow him on Twitter. And we couldn't let it be known. And I can't remember which game it was.
I think the first Offaly one, there was a Brendan Ammon playing anyway.
Yeah, there was a Brendan Ammon laying on it. You wouldn't get away with it nowadays with social media and what have you. No. But we did get away with it, I think we did anyway.
Yeah.
It didn't have any repercussions on his football career after.
And was there some photo? Was it the photo that gave
But I remember he was told at that time in the photo to stand with his head down, basically.
Yeah.
You know. And but someone did cop it down the line, I don't know.
Yeah.
We didn't take a whole lot of notice of it after, because once we had him, we were happy, you know.
And there was no phone call from anyone in Shamrock Rovers.
Never got that. Well, I didn't anyway. Maybe someone did, but I didn't.
He probably did.
Yeah, I didn't. But, God, he was a very talented young fella.
Yeah.
You know, he was a very good Gaelic footballer. He was a fabulous soccer player and a fabulous hurler, you know.
Yeah, Jenny. But you see, I think it got to a certain stage then where there might have been acceptance, because there was definitely, I don't know, was it in the lead up to that Leinster final where he had a photo taken with the Carlow jersey in one hand, the Shamrock Rovers jersey in the other? And Sports File were there doing it, so obviously it was known, and whatever way it worked,
that was afterwards, though. That was after.
Was it after?
Yeah, that was later on in the season.
But sure, they had to accept it. It was after being done.
Yeah, but sure, look, like, you know yourself, like, for a county like Carlow, you need to get your best 15 on the field all the time. So does any county, for that matter. And I was determined he was going to hurl. And his father, in fairness, Pat, done everything in his power to make sure he got to hurl with us and what have you.
Yeah.
But
it's mad that he didn't miss a game or anything, you know what I mean? That it worked out in such a way that
we used to have to be bit of man management had to come into it, where he'd be allowed, you know, he'd be training up in Dublin and that sort of stuff. So look, he was so fit and so talented at the time, it didn't matter.
You couldn't ignore him once we're seeing him, maybe.
He was really good, you know, a young fella, and he was a very good communicator in that, even as a young fella. And you always knew where you were with him. But he still was always at training once a week, you know, minimum.
Yeah.
And then, because the soccer season then finished in April or whatever it was, or the end of April or whatever, we had him for the rest of the summer, you know, which was great. You know.
What do you think happened against the Kenny that day? Was it just nerves?
Oh, I think we just froze.
Could you feel it beforehand?
No, you couldn't. But I remember we pulled a bit of a stroke. I don't know who had the contact, but someone had a contact for the groundsman in Crow Park. And we got up to Crow Park on the Thursday for a poker round. We weren't supposed to, but we got up to Crow Park and we were in around Crow Park. And fairness to the groundsman at the time, he brought us into the dressing room, showed us where we'd be and all that sort of stuff. And I remember saying to the lads after, saying, look, they're very relaxed. But the day of the game, you know, they weren't. They just, it just possibly the occasion. And then Kilkenny absolutely tore into us from the beginning. And brother Damien was over him. And we would have been great friends. One of the finest men I ever met in my life. And we were great friends. And I found out 3 years later what he said in the dressing room before the game. And I found out off one of the lads that was on the team. And he said to me, just what Damien said about you in the dressing room that day at the Leinster final. He said about one of your own going to bait you and all this sort of stuff. So he was an absolute gentleman. And I met him. He was involved with squads with him in Kilkenny after. And I said, so come here you for a minute. I said, what did you say about me in Croke Park that day in the dressing room? He says, it's all the heat of the moment. He says, you know yourself. And it was, because brother Damien wouldn't offend anyone. And but Kilkenny really tore into us that day. And, you know, and obviously their plan was, these lads are new to this. You know, nail it early. And they did, you know. But look,
and to get an edge, I suppose.
I was still so proud of them. I was so proud of them. And the fact then that we got to get out of Croke Park and go to Nolan Park and play a quarter final again. I think they were the eventual All-Ireland champions. Or were they beat by
Galway? They
won it, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that was a lovely way to finish my time with them. You know, that they had done themselves proud over the couple of years. Like, because a lot of lads were there in 05 as well, and 06, you know, because, like that, you have a panel of 30. Some of them were 15, some of them were 18.
One lad did 4 years. Three of them with two started all 4 years. Dwayne Kavanagh.
Dwayne.
He was some going to play 4 years.
He was a brilliant young hurler.
Like, I can think of very few that did 4 years county minor. Yeah. Brian Corker, I know, is one of them down in Cork.
Yeah.
But, like, to start 4 years,
I think,
as well.
DJ would have done it as well, possibly. Yeah.
Like, I think you might have had him corner back possibly the first year, and then maybe centre back.
I had him centre back then, yeah.
Like, that's fair going.
It is, but he was a fabulous young hurler.
Yeah.
And he didn't know his own strength that.
Yeah, he was hardy.
Yeah, he was hardy.
You know all about it if you went into him. Like. And the other one I just wanted to ask for, move on from the topic, was like the temptation maybe to stay one more year, because the 07 team was a serious team as well.
Yeah,
like,
but what happened was they came to me then and asked me would I be interested in moving on to under 21 or senior and that. And I did.
Mm.
And that just didn't work out.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. Owen Garvey was the senior manager, and he had his own crew with him and what have you that he was working with all the time, and it just didn't work out for me. And at the time, I think I had 4 kids under 8 or 9, I'd say, at the time. I had 4 kids under 11, it was. And I said, no, that's it. This is not, you know. We were going to Armagh and these places, and it really was too much with a young family.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd done the year with them, and that was it. That was.
Yeah.
And that finished my involvement with Carlo in the county. Yeah.
And was there a temptation to stay before you moved on?
Because I thought the idea moving on was a better idea and give someone else, like, 3 years is a long time.
Yeah.
In any one role, you know. And
Morris Power, I think, came in after.
Morris came in behind me, yeah.
And then I had him, he was, when I was there in 09, he was still there.
Yeah.
And I think if you're talking to him, not to be putting words in his mouth, but I'd say he might say that he probably should have stepped away after 08.
Yeah.
You know, he did two years. Yeah. And, the lads were very unlucky in 07. They lost out to Leash. John O'Loughlin inspired Leash in a high scoring game, but I know they were disgusted over that. Like,
yeah.
You know, because they did feel that they had as much talent as the crop in 06 and 05.
Oh, they probably were. They probably were. And really good players came off that 07 team as well, you know. Mm. So, but like, sometimes there is a time to just step away, you know, or go before you're sacked, basically. And
that you felt that was time.
I felt it was time, yeah.
One that I would like to just mention, because in my eyes he turned out to be one of our best ever hurlers, Alan Corker.
Yeah.
It's mad the way these things tend to pan out, I suppose. So in 06, he would have been a first year minor, 07, a second year. Now, he did go in his second year, I think.
Yeah.
But to see how he turned out.
Yeah, but he turned out to be an absolutely a huge stalwart for Canada.
As good a cornerback as you'll see anywhere. And I don't know
what.
And
he was
there
for 10 years, I'd say, on the senior team, or thereabouts. Yeah.
And, you know, he kind of, I don't know the ins and outs of the departure there. And he'd be a quiet man anyway. He'd want to go if he's going his own way.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly, I don't know, was there a lack of communication when he did go? I won't get into it, but
I don't know the story, so yeah.
Fine player, and I won't drag you into anything either, because I don't know the full facts and you don't know the full facts. But I suppose before we come to the modern day with the Leinster Senior Championship, you're back with Sam Mullins. And I appreciate I've left out a fair bit of your particular story, and I don't mean to be disingenuous.
My story is my story, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The public don't need to hear my story. I went back. Yeah, I got a phone call there just after Christmas from St Mullins, but they say you should never go back to your ex, but...
but it's like a new lifetime, anyway.
I'll tell you, look, clubs are clubs, right? And you only have one club. We all only have one club. Aaron's own Comer is my club. I love Castle Comer. I love the people of Castle Comer. I love everything about the club, you know, and we're a really progressive, hard-working club. But you can go to other clubs... And you'll never, like, you don't love them as much, you know, but you can love what the club is about and the culture in the club and the people in the club. And St Mullins is one of those clubs. Like, you couldn't but admire them and what they do and how hard they work at and the facilities they provide and all that. In a rural area, you know, a rural club with a small population, Mount Leinster Rangers have the same culture. You know, there's just two clubs within a few miles of one another. And there's a massive culture in the club. And the people of St Mullins, you know, the support they give to the parish and to the community and to the club is huge. And like I said to you, you can only love one club, your own club, but you can love the culture and love the people and love what a club is about. And that's St Mullins for you. You know, and I've been with other clubs over the years, and like... And I tend to find that the smaller country clubs are like the Conaghy Shamrocks in Kilkenny. You know, you couldn't but like them. Ballaragget, I was there for a couple of years. Two of the best years of my life as a coach and manager. And they're small clubs. But St Mullins epitomise what the club is about. They really do, you know.
Yeah, they're united and they're very hard bet if they're going to be bet. They don't give in. You see, you've got...
No, and they have that culture about them. It's a culture that's in the club, and it's And their values are very simple, you know. It's all about honesty and integrity and, you know, working hard and sticking together. And, like, those core values will carry most teams if they're in them, you know. And I was even there last night. I'm involved with the minors at home, and we were playing Dixborough last night. And to see our young lads fight so hard against a club of that size... and go out and beat them. Like, it means so much to people in our club when they do things like that. And it's all going down again to that honesty and integrity that I'm talking about. And that desire to represent that jersey that's on your back and represent it properly, you know. And if you have that in any club, right, you mightn't always win county titles and win Leinster championships and that, but you will always be competitive and you'll always be hard to beat, you know. And St Mullins had that in spades.
You must have very few evens free. Minor in your own.
Yeah, I'll tell you, at this stage, all my kids are growing up and they're one of them in Australia, one of them in America and blah, blah, blah. But it's not that. Like, that's my hobby. That's my pastime. All right, I love a bit of golf, but that's my pastime. And I still get a buzz, believe it or not, after this length of time, at my age, I still get a buzz in the dressing room. I still get a buzz. I was seeing, especially young fellas, improving and performing and exceeding their own expectations even. And I still get a huge buzz out of that. And I love the idea of being in the field training and, you know. And the day that buzz goes, that's the day I'll walk away from it.
Yeah, it's really interesting, like, and... I have been involved with senior clubs and I find now the workload, because it is almost like a second job. How do you manage that?
I'll tell you what it is. It's all about the people you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
That's the secret to decreasing your own workload and increasing the efficiency of what you're doing. And it's no different than running a business. You know, if you have good people with you, it makes life a lot easier. And You take it in St Mullins at the moment. I have Tom Doyle and Ger Lennon with me as selectors and what have you. I have Owen Roach there as the S&C coach, and I have probably one of the best hurling coaches I've ever worked with, Kieran Brennan. From originally, he's Conaghy's father, Nicky, be his uncle Kieran, be his dad, steeped in Conaghy and what have you, and he's involved with James Stevens now, Kieran is. But I have those guys with me. I have Seamus Connors there with me as well, you know, doing all the logistics and what have you. And I have the backing of the club. So I have a good chairman, a good secretary. And that decreases the workload big time. So it does. And then you can, and everyone, if everyone concentrates on their own job and does that properly, that makes your job a lot easier. You know.
Video stuff, Tommy. A fan?
Yeah, to an extent.
Are we going overkill with it?
Oh, some people.
Yeah, I think
bananas.
So.
Bananas. The videos and the warm-ups are the bits to get me.
Same.
Yeah. Like, the idea of a warm-up is to get the heart rate up, get guys ready to go out and hurl, and, you know, be at the pitch when he decides to throw in the ball. And some of them are gone bananas. And the whole idea in a warm-up is to get as many touches of the ball as you can and get your eye in on the day, which it should be in anyway, but and have all that ready. That takes about 22 minutes if you do it properly, somewhere between 22 and 25 minutes. Not 45 minutes with a load of poles and a load of cones and, you know, lads getting a touch of the ball every 40 seconds as opposed to every 5 or 10. And video analysis is brilliant. It really is. I use it. But the idea of sitting down for an hour and a half with a group of lads to watch a match is crazy stuff. Clip what you need out of it and give it to a guy and say, look, these are the three things you did really well. These are the three things you need to look at or improve on or where you went wrong. And I think the modern young fella learns more visually than he does verbally. It's the era we're in now. And if you can show a chap a minute and a half of a clip or 2 minutes of a clip, his concentration levels will last for 2 minutes anyway.
Yeah.
And he'll see. But if you try to show him something for 70 minutes, unless, now we can, you can send them out to him, send him the link to the video or whatever, and if he wants to sit down in his own time and watch it, that's fine. But for analysis and for performance enhancement, 2 minutes, 3 minutes of a clip, show lads where they're going right and wrong. I think that's plenty.
Same, yeah. Because I see, and look, it's a great thing to be able to do with a skill set or whatever, right? But I see lads get their own individual highlights packages, all 15 to 20 players.
Yeah.
And for me, is that doing anything bar massaging your ego or maybe tormenting you, depending on what you do with the ball? I would be of the mindset, I suppose, personally, that you pick out, as you say, the three or four things, good and bad, keep them there for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, done.
Well,
you know what I mean? Because you're born to tears.
I got great advice 30 years ago, or 30 something years ago. The priest that performed our wedding ceremony, I'll never forget, Father Declan Cleary below in Wexford. And I remember saying to him, will the mass be long? And he says to me, I'll tell you now, he says, young man, he says, if I don't hit oil after 3 minutes, I stop boring. And that was his sermon. 3 minutes. And I thought it was great advice for anyone. And it's the same when you're giving a team talk and what have you. Like, get the salient points across. Have two or three messages for every game, what the messages are, and leave it at that.
Other than that's over here.
There's nothing as bad as sitting in a dressing room at a team meeting for an hour and a half. Like, who wants that? You know, your team meetings on two nights before a game, 20 minutes, should cover most things. Because if you haven't the work done up to then, you're not going to get it across in a team meeting that two nights for a game.
Yeah.
Willie McMahon, a friend of mine from West Clare, used to say, you can't fat the pig the night before the fair.
Yeah.
And you can't. If you don't have the work done previously, you won't get there. You won't. And there's a certain amount of overkill goes on, I think, nowadays with managers and coaches.
Yeah, definitely from many facets, as you said, the video and the warm-up. Jesus, I had to go over and play junior A with Leshen about a month ago or 6 weeks ago. Yeah. They were caught or whatever. My junior alphabet doesn't go past C these days, Tommy, right?
Yeah.
We went over anyway, and the warm up must have been a half hour. Now, if I go for an odd run, I wouldn't run more than a half hour. So that's a match played for me.
Yeah.
That's what these things are. They're a match before you go play or whatever.
Yeah, I think.
And you rock up. And that's not to mention the medium tight fit jersey that I thought I was going to ring the fire brigade to get caught up afterwards.
They could have put a zip in it for you.
They could have. I don't know what this be going on. But
you see,
it buys into what you're saying, though. Yeah, like,
I think myself that. No, there is a certain amount of this as well where lads are justifying their existence.
Mm.
You know. But look. Young fellas nowadays are very, very, the majority of them are really well read, very intelligent, well educated, and they'll cop a bluffer a mile off.
Mm.
So they will. And if you just stick to the points that are of interest to them and that matter to them and work on that. And like even a thing we do now, and I only learned about this a few years ago, we will put up a session planner for every training session. And our training sessions last somewhere between a minute and 15 and a minute, or an hour and 15 and an hour and 20 minutes. That's roughly it. And the players then know going out, right, they're going to do this, this, this and this tonight and why they're doing it. And I find that's actually very useful.
Mm.
I find it so useful. And your session's planned and off you go for the evening.
Yeah, they know there's a purpose to it and why they're doing it.
Well, why you're doing it, yeah. And you might have had a game the previous Saturday, say, and a couple of things went wrong, and you'll work on those points as part of that session, and maybe the session after. And lads will say, oh yeah, that makes sense, basically. And but this thing of going to the field and spending 2.5 hours in the field, so that day is long gone.
Speaking of session planning, so how are you planning things now? We're roughly, what, are we about 2 months, maybe less than 2 months from?
I think I got a WhatsApp the other day, 22nd of June.
Right.
So now,
a lot of guys obviously gone with county plans. Obviously, the 20s will be
we're
back.
We're 9 weeks
so.
Out.
Yeah.
And at the moment, we have 8 with the Carlow seniors. And we have the under 20s back to us now at the moment. But it's my theory on all this is that the club player needs to be in as good a condition, if possible, as the guys that are coming back to him from an inter-county setup. And then when you have them back, there's no difference in your training. Your training levels can be at a reasonably high level then, for club level. And that's what we're working towards with the group we have. And we are giving young lads loads of games and we're giving lads chances. And like I'm still not 100% or near 100% sure how many of these young fellas are going to make that team and what have you. And between now and the end of the Inter-County Championship, we could end up with two of these lads coming back injured or what have you. You don't know. So you've got to make sure that you have a squad of 23 or 4 at least capable of playing senior hurling.
Hmm.
And that's what we're working towards at the moment. And if we win games on the way, we win games on the way. Bulger Cup or Kilkenny League or whatever. And if we lose games, we learn from them.
Hmm. Round robin format, well, it's happening in Leinster Championship at the minute, which we'll get a word on before we wrap up. But that's what the Carlow Championship remains on this year. Are you a fan?
Yeah, I am a fan, right, to an extent, because it means if you have serious intentions of going to the end of that championship, which every club should have, it gives you time to tweak your team and get your team right and gives you a little bit of wriggle room, basically.
Mm.
And Carlow, in fairness to them in Carlow, they don't have much choice. There are only 6 teams, you know. Now, the only thing I would say is, I think there was a proposal put forward, no, someone correct me on this if I'm wrong, where they'd alternate the hurling and football this year in the championship.
Week on week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a brilliant idea. They've gone back to it in Wexford. And it means then that whoever the Carlow champions in the hurling and football are rightly cooked for Leinster Championship, as opposed to waiting 8 or 10 weeks to play a first round Leinster.
Mm.
And the signs are on it. Wexford would have brilliant club teams, and they can't win a game in the Leinster Championship, senior or intermediate, you know, or junior even for that matter. And because they're too long waiting to play, you know, from the time they finish the championship. And I thought that would have been a great idea to alternate it, and then you go and you play your county final in September or October, like you were used to.
Mm.
And it also, because the thing about the condensed club hurling in Carlow this year, or any county, is you get one of your top players seriously injured or pulls a hamstring or breaks a hand or whatever, breaks a bone in the hand, he could be gone for the whole, he miss all the club games. But if you had the extra 6 weeks, now spanned out over 12 as opposed to 6 or 8, he'll recover and you'll have him back. You know, that's the only drawback with the condensed thing.
As you say, the counter argument off air, I said to you, was Ballygunner, and you said there's not too many there.
Yeah, but there's not many Ballygunners in the world, like, you know, like they could live down the hurls for 6 months and come back and beat most of the top teams in the country. You know, yeah. they're the exception to the rule. They're not the rule, they're the exception to the rule. And like even Ballyhale, who we all admire, they're such a brilliant club team. Like, they still have to go through the Kilkenny one to get themselves up to the level that they need to get at. And and they're an exceptionally good hurling team. Exceptionally good. And so, in my opinion, if you can spread it out a bit more and give teams that when they do go into Leinster to represent their county, that they're at a pitch that they can really compete, you know, with the best teams in the province.
Mm. Yeah, fair. So to wrap it up then, we'll come back to the Leinster Championship. And it's a fitting time to be sitting down doing this interview because Carlo's next game is against your own county, Kilkenny.
Yeah.
At the time we're recording, it will be Saturday week. So it's Netwatch Cullen Park, which is great to get Kilkenny back down there again when they'd come down in 2019 for the Championship. It was a very enjoyable day, obviously not a great result.
No.
I don't think there's many from Carlo expecting a result from this particular one, which, you know, in a sense it's a bit strange. So here we are. Carlo obviously lost to Galway, which you kind of expected.
Yeah,
thought they might get a result against Dublin. And what I'm going to say is Wexford have lost Antrim. Carlo fancy beating Wexford, but Wexford fancy beating Kilkenny. Mm. And we think we've no hope against Kilkenny. Yeah. Well, I'm not saying the players do, but a lot of the supporters think they've no hope.
What? Predicting hurling.
Is there any way to make sense of this?
It's not a science, right? You can't do it, right?
Yeah.
And last Saturday, above in Corrigan Park proved that.
Mm.
And it looked like, to me, from looking from the outside and knowing nothing about any of them, it looked like a brilliant piece of management on Antrim's part, where they came down to Kilkenny, probably knowing they weren't going to beat Kilkenny in Northern Park, but threw everything into the basket for Wexford coming up, like, into the lines then, basically, above Corrigan Park, and got a result that they probably thought all along they could get. Now, I'd imagine Carlo would be thinking something, and Tom Mullally is an extremely clever individual.
You've crossed paths a few times, have you?
Not a whole lot over the years, but, he's well known for being as good as he is, you know. And I think, but like you go back to last Sunday, like you take that goal incident, which to me looked like it should have been a free out. I thought Carlo deserved to get more out of that game. I genuinely did. I thought they hurled really well. And above in Salt Hill, with 50 minutes gone, there was a point in it. You know, so the talent is there. They'll obviously target Wexford and Antrim. They have to. And I think they have to go to Corrigan Park as well.
They do.
Yeah. Hard place to get a result. But, at the moment, Saturday week, till Saturday week, you'd imagine Kilkenny will beat Carlo. But, look, I'm not going to predict any hurling match. It's impossible. It's literally impossible because... Mm-hmm. On the day, things can go right and go wrong for you, and anything can happen.
Mm. I find there's a bit of a contradiction at the minute in terms of the coverage of hurling, and, you know, Don Logan's not afraid to voice his opinion, but sometimes I wonder, does he want more hurling or does he want more of everyone's hurling? And where I'm coming from with that is, obviously, from a Carlo point of view, I think someone thought it up. Did they get 3 minutes of coverage between the first two rounds? Now, the Galway one, yes, they were beaten by 11 points. There was 4 in it, I think, about 15 to go.
Yeah.
And in comes Conor Whelan and they have working all these bites, which not many counties have, let's face it.
No, they're scarce.
The Dublin one is literally probably a point or two in it either way. The goal was a scuttery goal. These things happen. Mm. Move on. But the problem is we're not seeing how good Carlo are. Like, we are. Obviously, we're at the match.
Yeah.
But the rest of the country isn't. So, therefore, there's lip service paid, a minute and a half of coverage. So how do we actually go about making these counties better if we don't showcase what they
can do? No, this is an issue. And Don Logue, for whatever faults he might have, loves hurling. He does love hurling, the same as the rest of us. And the way you put it there, I don't know, does he want to see more Munster hurling or more hurling?
When he's on counties behind the paywall, I get where he's coming from with that too. That's very targeted and coordinated.
Yeah, but like, to grow the game, which is what we all want to do, I'd love to see every county in Ireland play in hurling, but you've got to give them exposure. And a team that's playing the Leinster Senior Championship, and that's where Carlow and Antrim are, and these are the two counties I'm talking about here now, they deserve to get more, as much if not more exposure than Kilkenny and Galway. Because Kilkenny and Galway, the game is really strong and will always be strong. But Antrim are ploughing along for, well, down and themselves up north, and they deserve as much exposure as possible. And Carlow, where all the hurling is concentrated in a small pocket south of the, in the south of the county, they deserve, those people deserve way more exposure maybe than Kilkenny or Clare or Limerick. You know, because people have to see the amount of effort and work that's gone into putting a team like Carlow up at that level and being that competitive. And give them a chance, you know.
Look, I think the way the coverage is tailored is what bugs most people, because you've got a game that was shown live during the day, right? And then there's another 20 minutes spent on it, showing highlights or whatever, and a bit of analysis. Why?
Yeah.
The game has been on during the day, and, you know, I appreciate
give,
some people...
Give the Carlos and Antrims...
The 20 minutes.
Six or seven of those
minutes
maybe
not the 20, but yeah,
give
six
them six or seven of those 20 minutes each.
Yeah, and make the analysis more round and fair, because we've seen these games during the day. Yeah. Like, and if you have a GAA Go subscription, you would have seen them once too, if you're looking out to have one or whatever. Not everyone does, and that's a different argument. But this is where I think they're letting themselves down. I know Peter Fortune quite well. He's an ex-St. Mullins man. He's up with Louth and doing very well and spoke very well on League Sunday.
He did,
less than 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Now, I'm open to correction on this. I think that particular evening, I don't know if the results from their division was even shown on that. And here we are now a few weeks later, you won't even get results. They're starting to show John McDonough. Yeah. That's fantastic. Just give out the results. That's all those guys want. So as bad as we think we have it, what's further down?
I know it's all down to audience figures and viewings and advertising revenue and all that, you know, for media companies. But give them that bit. Let people see the work that's going on. Let people see how good they are, you know. And you won't see that in a minute and a half or 2 minutes.
No, plain and simple.
Give them 10, 15 minutes. Give them the same as, we'd say, Kilkenny and Galway was on telly the other day, and Limerick and Tip was on telly the other day. And I think they were the first two games on the Sunday game highlights.
Yeah, Cork and Clare was on GAA Go. So Cork and Clare was actually on first thing, and the other two followed. But like, they've already got the Carlow Dublin game, in actual fact, was the only top tier hurling game the other day that didn't have a GAA Go or RD live game coverage. There you go.
Yeah. It's really not good.
And now, in fairness, like, here we are, and we're going to sound whatever. The one that they are showing is Kilkenny one, which, if you're reading between the lines, you'd be saying it's probably the least chance they'd have of winning.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe the others, you know, I'll take Galway out of it. I need the other three.
Well, if you wanted to sit down and watch a really competitive game of hurling, anyone that knows anything about hurling would have picked Wexford and Carrick, or Wexford and Antrim. And they would also pick Wexford and Carlow, because of the neighbours and the rivalry and the fact that Carlow have a chance of an upset. They're games that you... And Carlow and Antrim, that's not going to be... There's not going to be a whole lot in that either. And it'll provide entertainment as a neutral to watch it. And because when you get two evenly matched teams, you usually get a better match, you know. And they're the games that should be shown.
Yeah.
I really do believe, you know, like... All right, they mightn't get the same. They got 470,000, I think, watched Limerick and Clare. They're not going to get like those viewing figures, but they can surely suffer two of these games in a year that they don't need half a million people watching it, you know.
Well, Carlow Offaly proved that last year.
Yeah.
The whole country was talking about
it. It was probably the game of the season, or close to it.
And
the Leinster final last year as well. Those three games were outstanding, like.
There you go, and the competition in flight 6-7 years. But look, Tom, this has been a really enjoyable conversation, I have to say. We could get serious out of you, I'd say.
No, that's me. I don't do media, Kevin.
Yeah.
I don't do
media. Well, I tell you, you're not too bad at it. No, yeah. there could be a career after all this.
No, thanks.
Things are going well at Property Partners Boogie anyway.
Yeah, busy out. Yeah, we're happy here. And we're in Kilkenny, and
you're enjoying it.
We do a bit in Carlow, even.
Do you?
Yeah, we do. And we're busy out.
And you're obviously here in Port Leash. How do people get in touch with you?
Look, we're Property Partners website, or throw us off an email there at tboogie@propertypartners.ie. Give us a call. Check our Facebook page. Anything you want, we're there. We're around the place the whole time.
You can be seen or heard everywhere.
Yeah.
They'll hear you anyway, Tommy.
No, they'll see me anyway. Yeah.
Tommy, thanks a million. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.